You're listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, May 27th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, The Fullness of the Spirit of God.
Take the Bible, please, and let's go back and look at this tonight together. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. I'll read it again for simplicity's sake, where the Bible says, And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I said a moment ago that Spirit, of course, if you'll notice in your Bible, it's capitalized. So that's not talking about your spirit, but rather it's talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves. And by the way, one of the things that happens after a person is filled with the Spirit of God is it changes them. And here's what the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always in all things unto God. It says, and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I want to speak tonight on the fullness of the Spirit of God, the fullness of the Spirit of God. I believe the reason that many churches, yea, churches being those that are comprised of individual believers, are struggling today is because there's an absence of the filling of the Spirit of God. I believe that one of the ways to have a church-filled Spirit of God moving in a church is when not just the preacher is filled with the Spirit of God, but when the believers, when those that are saved, that are sitting in the pews, that are filled with the Spirit of God. Let's say tonight that a church running 100 people, and let's say tonight that only 75% of them is filled with the Spirit of God, then we understand that probably that church service is going to have the power of God only 75%. Let's say that tonight that there's 50% of the people that's sitting in that particular church service, then there's only a 50% chance that the Spirit of God is going to have liberty and power in that service. Let's say tonight that only 10% of the people that's sitting inside of that particular church is filled with the Spirit of God. Let's say tonight that only 1% is filled with the Spirit of God, then you can pretty much rest assured that God's not going to do much of a work. You see, it's because of the absence of the power of God that we don't have the impact today that we ought to have in our individual lives, our family lives, and in our church lives. It's because of the absence of the power of God tonight that we don't see the great conversions, and we don't see the great number of baptisms, and we don't see the great churches growing today like they grew many years ago. Now, I'm not talking about coming to church because it's a rock and roll show. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm not talking about somebody standing outside, and when you walk in, it seems to me that a lot of churches are going that way, and they've got their praise and worship bands and stuff like that, and that kind of draws the flesh, to be honest with you. But I'm talking about you come because God is there. You don't come because of music that moves your physical body more than the Word of God that moves your spiritual soul. But rather, you come because it's the right thing to do, and you come because God is working in your life. And by the way, you can pack a stadium if you want, depending on who you invite to be the one that leads your concert. You can pack a stadium. That doesn't mean God's there, and that doesn't mean that God is going to work. You can take and pack a football stadium to play football, but that doesn't mean God's there, and that doesn't mean that God is going to work. But we understand tonight, we're talking about God working. We're not talking about man working something up, but we're talking about God pouring something out. And notice tonight, I want us to understand that when God moves in and there's the power of God, it's going to have an impact. There's going to be people saved. There's going to be people baptized. There's going to be people that are growing in the Spirit of God by the Word of God. There's going to be churches that are now starting to fill up, and there's going to be bills that are now being paid because of ministry expenses, and there's going to be an urgency that's met simply because of the filling of the Holy Ghost. You know, in the New Testament time, this was not a strange doctrine. But in our day and time, so many people mix up the filling of the Spirit of God with things that are unseemly and things that are unscriptural. They identify the filling of the Spirit of God with perhaps speaking in an unknown tongue or perhaps somebody rolling on the floor. But I'm going to show you tonight what the Bible says about being filled with the Spirit of God. You know, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you on the very day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Dale, come up here if you will and bring your body, okay? I want you to lay down right there if you will. Just kind of lay on your back. There you go. You're a lengthy fellow, aren't you? All right? And so here's what happens. The Bible says that before salvation, you're dead in trespasses and sin. No wonder when somebody comes to church and they're not truly born again. No wonder when somebody comes to church and they've never been saved, they've never been regenerated by the Holy Ghost, they've never been washed in the blood, they are not a true believer in Jesus Christ. No wonder when somebody comes to church and the man of God gets up and the man of God begins to open the book of God and begins to preach the words of God, no wonder they cannot identify truth. You know why? Because the Bible says that the Word of God is spiritually discerned. In other words, you cannot discern the Word of God without the Spirit. It is spiritually discerned. It's a spiritual book. Now, a person's not saved. They can understand and they can identify with the numbers that are written out in the Bible. A person's not saved. They can identify and they can understand certain words that's written out in the Bible. But you'll not understand contextually the truth and the deep spiritual meanings that only a child of God can understand unless truly you've been born again. All right, and so what happens, though, the Bible says before salvation that you're dead in trespasses and sin. And so being dead in trespasses and sin, here's what happens. When a natural man that receiveth not the things of God, when he comes to church and he's dead in trespasses and sin, and the man of God gets up and the man of God opens the Word of God and he begins to preach the words of God, then what takes place is this. They sit there and they say, what's everybody all excited about? Why are they excited about that? Why are they shouting about that? And by the way, are you listening to me? Even preaching that is in your face, sitting in your lap, and somebody spitting in your eyeball is good if God is on it. See, that's how come some people can come to church and the man of God gets up and boy, I tell you what, it seems like that he's sitting right in your lap. It seems like he's preaching right in your face. It seems like that God is working. And you leave here saying, boy, that is good. Wow, that is good. Boy, did God meet with me tonight. You know why you're saying that? Because there was a Spirit of God involved. But what happens to a person that's unregenerated, they come to church, and by the way, are you listening to me? Stay with me tonight. I really believe that there's a lot of churches in America, the only reason people come to church is because they have to have the music that so closely identifies with the world in order to keep their crowd. They have to do that. You know why? There's no Spirit of God there. So they've got to do something to draw them and something to keep them and something to keep them entertained. Because if they do not keep them entertained, they know they're going to lose their crowd. You see, but when the Word of God is taught, what you and I as true believers in Jesus Christ ought to get excited about is not something that draws that flesh, but something that is alive, something that is real, something that will change your life, something that will inspire you. And there's nothing like that more so than that which is the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. So what takes place, though, however, when a lost person comes to church and they hear the teaching and they hear the preaching and they sit there like, duh. Why are they so excited about that song? That song didn't make me wiggle. That song didn't make me kind of tinkle on the inside. Well, it might be that you've got the wrong tinkler. See, what happens is when a person gets saved, there's the quickening power of the Holy Ghost of God. And he comes in, and when a person receives Christ as Savior, now I'm talking about an indwelling, I'm not talking about a filling. There's a difference between an indwelling and a filling. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Ghost of God comes in to indwell them. Now, that which is spiritually discerned, which is the Word of God, we can understand. Okay, so I witnessed to Dale. Dale gets saved. Man, they've been praying for that, son. And boy, Dale gets saved, so Dale rises up. He's got energy. He picks up his Bible. He goes to church. Hey, wait a minute. When he comes to church, and go ahead, sit in that chair right there for just a minute. Be careful. Don't hurt my chair. Here's what takes place. All of a sudden, man of God gets up. Man of God is preaching. He's smiling. Why? You know why? He's identifying. Now he might not like it. Come on. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, man of God gets up and he is cleaning your plow. Here's the difference. You know he's right. So even though inside you're saying, ouch, ooh, ouch, you're smiling on the outside because your spirit identifies with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is identifying with the Word of God that's also holy. And how can you not agree with that which is holy through and through? All right, so all of a sudden, preacher gets up, preacher begins to preach. He says, open your Bible. Boy, it's going to be good preaching tonight. God is going to work, and God's got something for you. And he's smiling. Here, come out here. Sit right here. And so here's what happened. Man, preacher gets up, and he's just smiling like a goober. Man, he's earlobe to earlobe. And you know what he wants? He wants more. He wants more. You know, people, when people come to hear the preaching of the Word of God, they're not in a hurry to go home. They want to stay. The spirit of a good church is identified many times by how long you stay around church after it's all over. By the way, your spirit is identified by how long you stay around church after it's all. Now, I'm not saying stay to midnight. But if you're in a hurry to leave the fellowship of the brethren, why? If you're in a hurry to get out of here, to go back into that wicked, perverse generation, why? The Bible says there's the love of the brethren. So what should you do? Well, you ought to enjoy being around each other. You know, you can love somebody, you can have a brotherly love without having a brotherly like. Did you know that? You have a brotherly love with them because you identify with him together. But just because you're identifying with him together doesn't mean that you identify with each other together. Have you ever been around somebody and as long as they're talking about Jesus Christ, it's wonderful. But it's when they start talking about other things that you can't stand them. You know why? Because there's that brotherly kinship. Hello. So what happens? A person dead, trespasses in sin, gets saved, resurrects, alive in Christ, new creature. God puts a new song in his heart. He comes to church. Before salvation, he said, don't understand it. Before salvation, don't even know if I agree with it. Before salvation, don't even know if it's right. After salvation, he says, I don't still understand it, but there's something on the inside of me that says that it's good, that says that it's right. What is that? That's the Holy Ghost of God. That's what that is. All right, thank you. Be seated. Watch this. Here's what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about in Acts chapter 2 how the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, if you would. The Bible talks about that. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 31, the Bible says that the room was filled, it says, with the Holy Ghost. And listen to it. Though those men in that room were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began, it says, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Do you know what happens? Let me tell you what happens. When you become filled, and I said there's a difference between the Holy Spirit of God coming in. When you get saved, he takes up residence inside of you. So he comes in, and now he's a part of you. All right? But after you get saved, then God says, now wait a minute, just him taking up residence in you should not be enough. You should desire to have that filling. Now, here's what he's talking about. He says, one of the identifications of a person that is filled with the Holy Ghost is they have boldness. Now, I'm not talking about egotism, and I'm not talking about an element of pride. I'm talking about Holy Ghost boldness. Now, here's what it says. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, to know, it says, the love of Christ, it says, which passeth knowledge, that it might be filled with all the fullness of God. All right? So when a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, they long for more knowledge about God. They can't get enough. They want to hear the Bible. They want to know what to do. Why? Because that filling of the Holy Ghost gives them that. Let me give you a couple things tonight. Statement number one, why is it that you and I should desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Statement number one, because it is a command to be filled. God commands it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He said, be filled. He didn't say, passively, you might want to consider be filled. No, he says, look, be filled with the Spirit of God. The words be filled comes from a little Greek word, and it's plero, that simply means this. It means to be complete. It means to fill up. It means to fulfill. It means to be made full. So here's what God says. God says that you and I ought to be somebody, and listen to it now. It's in the present, it's in the passive, and it's in that which is the imperative verb, which means this. It's supposed to be something that you go after all the time. You're not supposed to say, well, God filled me one time and that's it. No. No, it's something that you're supposed to desire. Oh, I got filled yesterday with the Holy Ghost, but I want to be filled tomorrow with the Holy Ghost. Yes, and I want to be filled the next day with the Holy Ghost. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher. It does not matter if you're a deacon. It does not matter if you're a bus captain or a bus worker or a bus driver. God says to every single believer, be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, that's what God says. All right, so here's what we understand, that we should have a desire to constantly have that filling. Constantly have that filling. By the way, listen to this. It is not, if you would please, me working something up, but it's something that God does inside of me. Now, how does that happen? Well, first off, we understand that it's something that God commands us to do. Statement number one, because it is the command to be filled. Statement number two, because of the conditions of the filling. Watch your Bible. Look at it again. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine. Now, by the way, God cannot fill you if you have other things filling you. See, God says, here's what I've got. I've got a filling for you. By the way, it's not dirty. It's clean. Everything that God will do in and through you is clean. It's not marred. It's not dirty. And God says, I've given you a vessel, and that vessel I have given you is a vessel that is a vessel that I want to use. Now, we choose how much we're going to allow our vessel to be used. We choose that. Okay, so here we go. Brother Allen, come up if you will. Here's what we got. We have a vessel here that needs to be used. Now, I choose how much I'm going to yield myself to be used as a vessel. God said, I've got power for you, Brother Allen, power for you. I'm not talking about the possessiveness of the Spirit of God. He says, I want you to have more than that. I want you to have a filling of the Spirit of God. Now, the only way he can have a filling is if he's empty. You can't fill something that already has something in it. So there's got to be an emptiness. And that's why we preach about being pure. That's why we preach about be holy even as God is holy. Now, you don't hear a lot of that in churches today, but I'm telling you, the more you're full of yourself, the more that you're full of your fleshly ways, the more that you're full of sinful activity, the less that God can fill you and use you and have control over you. What you have to decide is how much you want God working through you. You've got to decide that. Nobody can decide that but you. Nobody can decide how much God is going to give somebody else the power of God but that individual. So God says, I've got all the power. All the power. By the way, all the power touching heaven and earth. Got it all. Here's a person that does this. I tell you what, I want to do my bus route. I'm going to do it on my own. My Bible says the arm of the flesh shall fail you. You can get frustrated. I know in fundamentalism we don't like the terminology burnout, but I've got news for you. You're going to get burned out. Because you're doing it in the flesh. There's no way you can have a good, godly, wholesome marriage and rear good, godly, wholesome children without the power of God. You can't do it. There's no way that you can step outside of your house and be able to be someone that is walking along and being able to face a wicked, wretched, evil society and be able to win over the world, the flesh, and the devil without God. So God says, hey, look, I gave you a vessel. He said, I gave you a body. This is your vessel. Now you put in it whatever you want to. Inside your vessel, you can put dirty movies if you want to. Inside, it's your vessel. Now, you listen to me tonight. It is your vessel. Inside of your vessel tonight, you can look as much pornographic material as you want to. It's up to you. Inside the imaginary chambers of your mind and of your heart, you can put in there anything you want to. I gave you that vessel. But he said, I'd prefer you keep it holy. And by the way, so when I come to him, I have the Holy Ghost. We're going to see what happens when we put the wrong thing in. But I come to him, he has more power that he gives me. But I've got to be empty. I've got to be empty. If I'm not empty, okay, all right, here we go. Same scenario. You're only 50% empty. 50%, if you would please, yield it to God. Then you can't expect God to give you more power than 50%. Wouldn't you like to get your prayers answered? Wouldn't you like God to change your life? Aren't you getting tired of trying to live a godly life and failing and failing and failing and coming up miserable every single time? Aren't you getting disgusted with the fact that there is no joy? That you're having a hard time forgiving other people? You know why? That's all the works of the flesh. God said, I can't work inside of you. You got too much of you inside of you. There's no way I can fill you. You don't even have enough room for me. How can I fill you? What God wants. Now, wait a minute. And so let's say that. Here's a picture of the world. You open that for me. Here's a picture of the world. And we take just a little bit of dirt in there, if you will. And by the way, just a little bit of dirt. So we take a little bit of dirt. Oh, sorry. I take a little bit of dirt. We almost had. Okay. And so we take a little bit of dirt. We put it in there. By the way, there's still the Holy Ghost, but we're just adding to what is in our life. The wretchedness, the filth, the dirt, the grime. Then you get around people and wonder why people don't like you that is spiritual. Well, you know, they're not friendly to me. It might be they see much so much junk inside your life, they're scared of you. It might be that they're afraid to have their kids hanging around you because after all, they see the real you. All right, so what takes place? Now, you wonder, come up here if you will. Come on up. And he says, hey, I want to be your friend. Let's get close to each other. I tell you what, go ahead and have a part of my vessel. Have a part of being close to me. Go ahead and drink it. He says, no. I go ahead and drink it. You're supposed to say no. No. Okay, good. And so what takes place is this. And then you wonder, well, what in the world is wrong with them? You know, I don't understand it. Let me tell you, you can't see you, stay with me, like others see you. I was talking to my wife about this the other day. I said, you know, here the average mom, here's what the average mom wants. Average mom wants their daughters to be pretty. The average dad wants one thing, protection. A girl comes walking up. Come on. Boy comes walking up to your daughter. First thing you think is protect, defend, defeat, stomp out, destroy. First thing you think? Brother Tom was saying that his kids are about that tall. Imagine how he's going to feel when they get teenagers. All right, thank you. Be seated. Take your drink with you. Okay? Here's what we see. Let me give you a couple more thoughts. Statement number one, we ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost because he commands it. Statement number two, because there's conditions to that filling. Listen to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Here's what the word quench means. It means this. That means you resist God working in you. You resist it. You know that the word of God is true. You hear it and you say, I don't like that. I'm not going to listen to that. I resist that. All right, now wait a minute. God says one of the reasons we ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost is it will help you conditionally to be where you should be. You know, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God, you will not quench the Spirit of God. Years ago, there was Vance Havner. Vance Havner said, it's not quenching as much as it is squinching. Squinching. Now, wait a minute. What he was saying was this. He said, you squinch. Well, how do you squinch something? You pour water on it. How many times does your kids get excited about what happened out on soul winning? They come in all bubbly and you pour water on it. You squinch it. And by the way, the Word of God, now that's what Vance Havner said, and he is not the Holy Ghost that gave you the Word of God. The Word of God uses a stronger word where it says quench. That means, okay, when you squinch something, you pour water on it. When you quench something, you totally put it out. It's gone. Come on. Your young teenage boy gets up and he begins to preach the Word of God and he's all excited and he comes and he says, boy, this is what the Bible says. And boy, he's shaking that thing and he's rattling that thing. And boy, he is going at it. He's working up a sweat. And then you say when you get home, hey, what else did you do tonight? And you totally ignore something that you knew was spiritual in his life. You got to be careful as a daddy. You got to be careful that you're not more excited about going hunting and fishing than you are your child leading somebody to Jesus Christ. You have to be careful about what you set as a perimeter and what you set as a priority in your child's life. Listen, here's what the Bible is talking about. The Bible talks about how that quenches the Spirit of God. It resists the work. It pours not just water on it. It smothers it to the point and to the place where now it's the frame of mind that it just can't work. And that's what it's talking about when it's talking about quenching. But watch this. Look at your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. So now he says you not only can quench it, that means that you pour so much water on it that you totally smother it, it's gone. But he says right here, he says, grieve not. Now what does that mean? When somebody is grieved, you ever see somebody grieved? You ever see somebody walked and they were at a funeral home and they walked out and they were grieving so much, no matter what you said, didn't make a difference. They were just grieving on the inside. Now, wait a minute. Here's what God says. God said, the person of the Holy Ghost of God, you can grieve. You can grieve him so bad that it's hard for him to be able to work in your life. Oh, it doesn't stop there. Why is it that you and I should be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? First, he commands it. Second, because of conditions. When we do that, we don't quench him. When we do that, we don't grieve him. When we do that, it's easy to walk with him. Listen to it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. The Bible says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit. So what happens? When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it's easy to walk after him. Okay, watch this. A person that is filled with the Holy Ghost of God, here's what takes place. When the man of God preaches, here's what takes place. And you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, here's what takes place. It is easy. Stay with me now. But it is easy to leave the pew and to come to the altar. It's easy. You know why? Because you've mortified the flesh. You have put to death the flesh. And all you care about is God working in you. I am not worried about people that come to the altar. I am worried about people that never come to the altar. Because my question would be, why not? Why, if a person is so, well, I'm not going to go to the altar because of what is people going to think about me? I'd be more concerned about what people thought about me if I never did. I mean, God is not dead. God is alive. And his word is alive. And his word does not return void. Come on. There's not a preacher in America that travels. There's not a preacher in the world that travels that when they walk into a church, and I'm hoping, I'm getting ready to preach at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Florence, Alabama. I'm hoping that we have a great outpouring of the Spirit of God and the people obey the will of God and people move and they come towards the altar because God has freedom to work in and through them on Monday night and Tuesday night. I worry about churches, there's no movement. Has nothing to do with the power or the delivery skills of the preacher. Nothing. Has everything to do with the yieldedness of a person's individual heart and life. That's where it's at. A person could get up and they could preach the word of God with monotone. I mean, just barely talk about it as far as being able to expressly put it out there. They don't have to jump around. They could preach standing still. But if God is working in your life, then you ought to respond to how God is working in your life. All of a sudden, man of God gives an altar call and a person never comes forward. Here's what you're doing. You're showing your spiritual temperature. You know, make sure that God, and by the way, you listen to me. Boy, if I had children, when that altar call was given, I'd bring those kids to the altar and I'd pray with them. Hey, here's what we got. We got moms and dads that are too spiritual, not really, too unspiritual, to come to an altar, but their kids will come to an altar. And their kids come down, and the kids wonder. They can't help but wonder, well, what's wrong with mom and dad? Why is it that God is speaking to me, but God is not speaking to them? But you remember when you were younger, you always went to an altar? You remember when you were younger, you'd even get to the church early and you would pray, dear God, please do something in my life tonight. You'd hit the altar before church began. I'm saying tonight, when a person is filled with the Spirit of God, it changes the way they are. How does it change the way they are? Well, it's not going to be somebody that's going to be grieving the Holy Spirit of God. It's not going to be somebody that's quenching the Holy Spirit of God. It's going to be somebody that is walking after the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible talks about when a person's filled with the Spirit of God, they yield their spirit to his spirit. Yeah, come on. Now you're too quiet on me. But here's what takes place. When a person is yielded to the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit begins to work, even though it's stomping and even though it is correcting and even though it's challenging and even though it's convicting, you sit there and you're feeling good about it. Because your spirit identifies with his. Listen to it. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. The Bible says, neither, it says, yield ye your members, it says, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, it says, as those that are alive from the dead. Wow. So as soon as I get alive from the dead, as soon as God quickens me and makes me alive and I'm saved, what am I supposed to do? Yield. It says right here. Says that those are alive from the dead, that your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So what am I supposed to do? Look, you ever hear that verse? Maybe you've read the verse where it says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oh, I can't believe that Sunday school teacher said that. Oh,
I can't believe that preacher said that. Oh, my mama. I can't believe she said. Wow.
Why are you having such a conniption if they're telling you something that's true?
Well, I tell you what. I don't like going to that church because, after all, when I go to that church, it makes me feel bad.
What type of life you living? Man, if you go to a church and the church makes you feel good because you're living for Jesus Christ, that's wonderful. But if you go to church and you're living a wretched life and the preacher gets up and the preacher preaches and the Holy Ghost just happens to move into your living room and camps out with you and talks with you a while, that's not bad. You don't want to go to a church where they're always making you feel good, do you? I mean, you don't want to go to a place where, you know, you walk in and everybody greets you. Oh, it's so good to see you, my dear brother. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. Let's talk about the love of God. There's something phony about that. Now, you don't always want to come to a church where the preacher's always ripping you up either. The word of God is not pepper. It's not hot sauce. The word of God is salt. Salt is a healing agency, but it also stings when it's poured in a wound that should already be healed. But it's a healing agency. Now watch this tonight. I'm finishing up. Aren't you glad? Here we go. Talks about those that surrendered. I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. There was a George Whitefield, famous English evangelist. Here's what he said. He said, "Oh Lord, give me souls or take my soul." He was serious about it, wasn't he? There was Henry Myrick that said this, great missionary, got on his knees in India coast, in the Indian coast. Here's what he said. He said, "Let me burn out for you, O God." Sound pretty serious about it. David Brainerd, missionary to North American Indians, declared this, "Lord, I give thee myself. I dedicate to thee myself. Oh, I accept whatever is thy will forever. Lord, I desire nothing else, but I desire you only." Sounds like he's pretty serious. D.L. Moody employed this. He said this, "Use me, then, my Savior, whatever purpose and wherever you want me to be and however you want me to be used. Lord, I pour my poor heart and my empty vessel out to you. All I ask is you fill me with your grace and power." Sound like he's pretty serious. William Booth decided one day, let me give you the story. Here we go. William Booth walked into the Presbytery of the People. There was a great sending people that was there back then, sort of like a judge's chamber. He walked up. The guys are sitting behind the desk. Back then, none of the ladies was allowed to sit on the main foyer or on the main floor. They had to all sit in the balcony. William Booth, a very educated man. William Booth could have taught in any Bible college. And by the way, the greatest education that was known of yesteryear was not known in the universities of the world, but was known in the universities that taught biblical truth. May I remind you that Yale and Harvard was some of the greatest institutions that was sending out preachers ever known. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. And so here William Booth, he appears before these men. He's wanting to be sent out. He's got a burn to reach the poor of the London, England area. They said, "We're not going to send you out. You are an educated man. You ought to teach in one of our educational institutions and train men and women for the cause of Jesus Christ. Why go out there and waste your time on the poor?" By the way, back then, no lady said anything in church. Mrs. Booth could not contain herself. She rises up in the balcony. She grabs herself a handful of banister. And she shouts out, "Don't say nothing, William!" She runs down. Comes down, stands beside her husband, holds his hand, and said, "William, you ought to obey God rather than man." They left. They stormed out the door. He started reaching the poor all over
the London, England area. People had no jobs. People that was crumbling in their lives. People that needed help. People that could never pay him back. People that was destined for failure. People that had sick souls. And he started something called the Salvation Army. And he was known as General Booth. And all over London, he was reaching people. And it even came to America. That's where the Salvation Army started. And he said, I give myself to reach the poor. You can't tell me that was a man that did not meet conditions. I said, statement number one, why should be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? It's a command. Statement number two, because of conditions. Let me give you one more and I'm done. Because of the consequences. Listen to it. I'm done. I'm going to hurry. Here's what it says. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let me give you some statements. I'm done. Here it is. When a man is filled with the Spirit of God, he will worship God in his personal time differently. Differently. He don't have to have a crowd, but it's personal. And the walk that he has with his personal God is different. Verse 19, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves. Didn't say speaking to others. Speaking to yourselves. Let me ask you something. When you're by yourself, what do you sing? What's in the heart will come out. A man is known by what's in the heart. It's going to come out. Out of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaketh. All right, listen to it. And so what is ever in the heart is going to come out. What do you do when you get mad? What type of words do you say? What's in the heart is going to come out. When you're all alone and you're in your backyard, when you're in your bedroom, what type of songs are you singing? Holy songs, unholy songs, songs that honor Jesus Christ or songs that talk about the way of the flesh that is destructive to your very mind and your heart, and you know it. What are you singing? Here's what it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So what happens? Changes the way you have that personal worship. Statement number two, changes the way you walk. You walk differently. You walk differently. Okay, here's a person. It's in the world. They want everybody, a real cocky type of person, arrogant type of person, person that's consumed with self. They even walk that way. They gyrate when they walk. Come on, you see them? Yeah, they're walking, they got the strut. What are they trying to say? They're trying to say, look at me. Woo, I'm somebody. Hey, by the way, why is it that young men today wear their britches half down? What are they doing? Oh, they're not doing that. Can I tell you something? Let me help you a little bit. They're not doing that because it's comfortable. I want to help you a little bit. By the way, why is it that people get piercings everywhere? I want to help you a little bit. They're not doing it because it's comfortable. Well, I got all these earrings. I got all these earrings. I got a tongue ring, and I got a nose ring, and I got an eyebrow ring. And I've got a ring that goes from my lip to my belly button. Hey, what's comfortable about that? Do you love Jesus? Yeah. I was comfortable about that. I was talking to a girl the other day. She came up to wait on me in a table. She had a tongue ring. I said, I want to ask you something. Is it comfortable? No. By the way, one of the most dangerous places that you could have something like that's in the tongue. You can get more infections that way than any other place in your entire body. I said, why'd you do it? She said, because my dad didn't want me to. Well, I would say that that's pretty rebellious. Come on. Listen to me tonight. Here's what I'm saying. You walk differently. You say, well, what? You know, I come to church and everybody's talking this away and addressing it. Hey, if it's the right type of church, they're going to do right. Why? Because God needs to be God and God can work and God can change a life. But you have to decide that God will work inside of you. You have to decide that. That's a personal yieldedness, by the way. Nobody can, Well, my parents aren't going to make me. Probably not. Should they have to? My relationship with God has nothing to do with my mom and daddy. My relationship with God has to do with me and God. I'm not going to obey God because some other... Look, I'm not going to preach the way I preach because some other preacher preaches that way. I could care less. I preach the way I preach is because God is real inside of me and he shows me a truth and I think that everybody needs to hear it. Now, wait a minute. Watch this if you will. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible talks about there's consequences. What's the consequences? Well, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, here's what he says. He says you're going to worship differently. I'm talking about that personally. So speaking to yourselves. It changes your relationship with God. You walk along and you're singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You're singing. Changes the spirit. And everybody says, I wish your spirit was not changed. But there's a difference on the inside. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, it changes on the inside. I'm joining the choir next week. And all the people said, I'm leaving. Yeah, Brother Wislowski, you know, he's the only one that says amen about me joining the choir. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So what do? You submit your, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're not going to have a problem with another brother in this room. You're not going to talk bad about them. You're not going to start a rumor session. You're going to love the brethren. But you're going to have a hard time doing that if you're doing the yeah, instead of the pray. You ever notice this? People that talk about other people don't talk to God. Did you ever notice that? Wait a minute. Watch this. Here's what we see. You'll witness differently. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but the Bible says to be, it says, watch that. It says, but it says, watch it, but ye shall be, it says, you shall receive, it says, power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the othermost parts of the earth. He said, look, it's going to change the way you witness. Show me a person that's not filled with the Spirit of God, and I'll show you some people, unless they're motivated to do so because of a campaign or because of some other type of incentive. They don't think about carrying a gospel tract. But you show me somebody that is filled with the Spirit of God, they're always having witnessing on their mind. Always. You can't find them without a gospel tract. They're always passing them out everywhere they go. Always. You know why? Spirit of God. Spirit of God. They are soul conscious simply because there's a Spirit of God that's working inside of them. Now I want to ask you something tonight, and I'm done. Stay with me. Are you ready? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Point blank, are you? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? By the way, if you are, your wife will know it. If you are, your husband will know it. If you are, your children will know it. If you are, your parents will know it. If you are, people around you, they will know it. Are you? Are you filled with the Spirit of God?
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.